Erev Yom Tov, Hey Sivan, 30th of May, Rabbi Avraham Kimchi, Erev Shavuos.
Morning, Rabbi Isai.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all here. For those of you expecting my son-in-law, Rabbi Tugendhat, I apologize for the disappointment. I'm his Mamale Mokim. I'm a stand-in. Standing in for him this morning. It's always a pleasure to be here. This is a wonderful Mokum Torah, this Beis HaMedrash, and it's the closest Beis HaMedrash to my house. I try to come here as quickly as often as possible, and it's always a pleasure to come here. As probably some of you know, giving a shiur in somebody else's shul is sometimes a tricky business. I hope today not to disappoint, and please God, say a few words about Erev Shavuos. So I'd like to start off with an insight from the Vilna Gaon about Dafka today, Erev Shavuos, and an interesting little gematria which is uniquely relevant to this day of the year. We are familiar with the 13 Yesodei Hadat of the Ramban in their form of Animamim Bona Shalemor, right? In the Sidurim, it's brought Animamim Bona Shalemor. The Rambam himself didn't actually write that Nusach. I'm not quite sure who wrote the Nusach Animamim Bona Shalemor, but the Rambam does write the 13 Yesodeis in the Perash HaMishnah on Sanhedrin, on the Mishnah Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Alam Haba. He writes 13 Yesodei Hadat. Of the 13, number 8 is the Emunah in Torah Min HaShemayim. And that's really what Shavuos is about. Shavuos is a Yom Tov to be Mechazek our Emunah and deepen our Emunah, that aspect of our Emunah in Torah Min HaShemayim. People sometimes make a mistake and think that the word Emunah means believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is that's only half the story. Half the story is to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are lots of God-fearing non-Jews in this world who also believe in God. And yet they don't have what we call Emunah, because Emunah for us means not only a belief in the Ribbono Shel'olam, but also a belief in Torah Min HaShemayim. It's the Torah Min HaShemayim which is unique to Klal Yisrael, especially Torah Sheba'al Peh. The entire Torah coming Min HaShemayim, that is the 8th of the 13 Yesodeis. And there's one particular aspect of it which I'd like to just highlight for a moment, that the Rambam touches on the fact that since the Torah is Min HaShemayim, the implication of it is, he says, that every single word in the Torah has got an infinite level of depth and meaning. And it doesn't matter what that word is. So he says it could be the words Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it could be the words of Necham, Kushu, Mitzrayim, or Futu Kanan. That posuk has each word has got the same unkus and the same infinite levels of meaning. And therefore, we have to we have to be in awe, he says. The Rambam, whose understanding spans the entire depth and breadth of the Torah, was able to say that we actually, it's a mission impossible to understand the Torah completely, because it's the Dvar Hashem, and because it's the Dvar Hashem, by definition it's infinite and not finite. And this is, and therefore he says there's a special aspect, maybe this is a kavana to have on Shavuos. Every Shavuos, of course, every Yom Tov, we have our tefillahs, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the Chasdei Hashem. But there's a special tefillah one should have on Shavuos. And that is that we should be zeicher to understand the Torah. The Rambam says that naturally, or logically, if you like, it's impossible to understand the Torah, because the Torah is the Dvar Hashem. Right? In fact, the Maharal, some of you might know, wrote a whole sefer called Tiferes Yisrael just on Shavuos. And the first 7 or 8 chapters are all about this one problem. The problem is, how is it even in theory possible? The Maharal Miprag wrote a sefer, Tiferes Yisrael, and his question is, how is it even in theory possible that the human finite mind can encompass the infinite Dvar Hashem? The meeting of the finite and the infinite are impossible. So he's got chapters and chapters trying to explain exactly. The Rambam also touches on it in the Yosef HaShemini, in the 8th of the 13 Animamins. And he says that one of the answers is you have to daven. If a daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, Gal Einai Va'abita Niflois B'Teirasecha, the Dovid HaMelech davens Gal Einai, that we have to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to open our eyes, and that learning Torah is not only a question of logic and intellect, but we need to daven with special Siyata Deshmaya to understand the Amkus and the deeper levels of meaning of the Torah. And in fact, it's interesting that Sfas Emes, when he speaks about Shavuos, he asks the question that most of the Farshim ask about what exactly is the kesher between Megillas Rus and Shavuos. So there are lots of different answers, right? But the Sfas Emes has a unique answer, which I haven't seen in anybody else. He says the Megillas Rus is, of course, a reference to David HaMelech, right? The genealogy of David HaMelech, the origin of David HaMelech. And David HaMelech represents Tefillah. Everybody davens, but David HaMelech personified, he embodied the concept of tefillah, and therefore he says the Sfas Emes, L'chaber ha-tefillah la-Torah, that there has to be a chibur to the two great mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael, Talmud Torah and tefillah, they need to be connected. And the way we connect them on Shavuos is by, on Matan Torah, we have Megillas Rus in order to bring David HaMelech into Matan Torah, because we need to daven, because learning Torah is not something we can simply apply ourselves to without tefillah. And that principle is in the Rambam, in his Perish HaMishnah, when he goes through all these 13 Yesodei Hadat, and in it he quotes one pasuk. And this pasuk, after the Rambam quoted this one pasuk, it became a classic pasuk in the praise of the infinite depth of the Torah. It's a pasuk from Iyov, funnily enough. You wouldn't have thought a pasuk from Iyov would be particularly relevant here. But the pasuk in Iyov reads that the Torah is Arucha me'eretz mido urechova mine yom. Arucha me'eretz mido, it is greater than any earthly mido. Mido means measurement. It's beyond earthly measurement. Urechova mine yom, and deeper than the oceans, deeper than the sea. That's what Iyov writes, and that's the pasuk the Rambam quotes when he's speaking about the infinite depths of the Torah. Arucha me'eretz mido, urechova mine yom. And now we're going to come to the gematria of the Vilna Gaon in this pasuk, which is negeya especially to today. And there's something very odd about the way in which we count the Omer. Now, for the last 7 weeks, we've been counting the Omer, and we've been saying a pasuk. As far as I'm looking, Mochas Shabbos, Miyom Agirchem is Emot before. Sheva Shabbos is Tzrimas Tiyena, Abri Mochas Shabbos Hashri, Tisperu, Chamishim Yay. The Torah says, count what? Count 50 days. Do we count 50 days then? We count 49. What happened to Tisperu, Chamishim Yay? This is a little bit of a mystery. Right? The pasuk tells us, Mefurash Tisperu Chamishim Yay. Right? Says the Vilna Gaon that the transition from 49 to 50 is the transition from the finite to the infinite. It's a transition from that which can be quantified to that which is nitzchias, which is beyond measurement. It's aruch, the Torah is aruch from the eretz midah. 7 times 7, that's within the capacity of the human mind to count and to quantify and to add up and to go through all the calculations. And Baruch Hashem, we've managed to do that for seven weeks. But there comes a point, the 50th point, is beyond quantification. It symbolizes the infinite. Says the Vilna Gaon, Arucha me'eretz mido. Mido is 49. Urechova mine yom. Yom is 50. Arucha me'eretz mido. Urechova mine yom. What's that?
Sorry, yom begimash.
Yom Begamatra, Yud Mem is 50, Mem Dalet Hey Mido is 49. Sarucha Me'eretz Mido, Urechova Mine Yom expresses this idea of the transition of today to tonight. Today is 49, tonight is 50. That's not just a sequence of numbers. It is in fact a qualitative difference between the finite, the human mind, and that which is infinite, which is beyond the human mind. And that's the big chiddush of Torah, that the human being was able to hear the Dvar Hashem. That is logically not possible. And in fact, all the great philosophers in the Goyish world couldn't conceive of that. And that's why even the great philosophers who accepted totally the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They completely denied the possibility of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever communicating with man, because the finite human being could never pick up the infinite Dvar Hashem, and that was the yesod of the greatest apikorsis in the world, right? The ancient Greeks and Spinoza and all of them, that's the iceberg on which they sunk, right? Their apikorsis was their inability to accept the idea that the human being can hear the Dvar Hashem. And in fact, that is the essence of our Simcha and Shavuos that we are celebrating. And then when it says Tisbru Hamishim Yom, it means count as much as you can count. How much can you count? Of course you can't count 50, because 50 is infinite. You can count 49, and then we stand before our Kodesh Baruch Hu to receive the Torah, and that's the Man Matan Teraseinu, and that is the Yesod of Torah Min HaShemayim, and that is really the heart of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. But there's a question. We're going to do a little bit of arithmetic now, Rabbi, so I hope you've all got your mathematical brains switched on. There's an interesting question which is known in the Achreinim as the Kasha of the Mogen Avraham. So the Mogen Avraham in the 17th century asked the following question. He did a few sums, and he says the sums don't actually add up. The Mogen Avraham asks the question that Chazal tell us, and we see in the Pasuk, Yitzias Mitzrayim actually took place on the Yom Chamishi. The 15th of Nisan, the original 15th of Nisan, took place on Thursday. It was a Thursday, Yom Chamishi, right? The moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? The Shabbos HaGadol was the Shabbos the 10th. The 10th was the Shabbos. If the 10th is Shabbos, the 15th is Thursday, okay? So Thursday is the first day of Yom Tov. If you start counting Mimachras HaShabbos, you start counting on Friday. If Friday is day 1, right? So when is day 49? Day 49 comes out to be a Thursday. And day 50 turns out to be a Friday. And the Gemara on Shabbos says, the Chula Alma Torah Nitna B'Shabbos. The Gemara says, and everybody agrees, the whole debate of the Gemara, 5th of Sivan, 7th of Sivan, but most everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. Says, but the numbers don't add up. Because if Yetzias Mitzrayim was on a Thursday, right, then it had to come out that day 50 is actually Friday. So when we are celebrating Shavuos, we are actually celebrating Erev Matan Torah. The Matan Torah was the next day. This is such a big kasha for the Mogen Avraham. He gets so stuck on this, and he says, and Ulai, he says, maybe this is a remez to second day Yom Tov of Shavuos. That's what he says. Yeah. And maybe this is a remez, as the Mogen Avraham, to second day Yom Tov of Shavuos, because the first day Yom Tov clearly wasn't the day of Anoich Hashem Elokecha, of the Matan Torah itself. It was the day of Erev Matan Torah. And the day of Matan Torah itself was the 51st day. That comes out according to the arithmetic. Whichever way you add up the numbers, that's how it comes out. And that's it's known as the Kasha of the Mogen Avraham. I say it's known as the Kasha of Mogen Avraham, but really it was asked one generation earlier already by the Marsha. If you're interested in this question, have a look in the Marsha on Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel. There the Marsha already asks this question. Already a generation before the Mogen Avraham, he asks exactly. He's always also done his arithmetic, and he's figured out that it doesn't really work that it comes out to be the 50th day turns out to be the Friday and not the Shabbos. I wanted to suggest a little bit of an approach to this question, which is based on a Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes asks another very interesting question about the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The question is, all the other Yomim Tovim, the Torah gives them a name, which it is the essence of the Yom Tov, Pesach, Sukkos, right? Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur's day of Kapara. Shavuos is about weeks. Is that really the essence of the day? Is weeks? It's true, we count weeks in order to get there. But Shavuos means weeks, right? That's what the Yom Tov is about. It's not a simple question, this. A lot of the Mefarshim grapple with it to try and understand why would we give the name of the Yom Tov. That is, okay, it's true, it's got other, Chag HaBikurim, Chag HaKotze, there are other agricultural names to it, but the Torah calls it Shavuos. So the Sfas Emes has got a classic piece of Hasidic Drush, but I think it's got a tremendous amkus to it, and it fits in a bit as possibly a teretz to the Kasha of the Magen Avraham and the Marashah, to my suggestion. He says, actually, the word Shavuos has got another meaning as well. Not just weeks. If you read it, not Shavuos, but Shavuos, with a Shavah under the Shin, and not a Kamatz. What does Shavuos mean? Shavuos is actually the name of a Masechta in Shas. There's a Nedarim in Shavuos. There's a Masechta called Shavuos. A Shavua means vows, oaths, that a human being makes an oath. Says the Sfas Emes, that's what the word means. We are celebrating Shavuos, the vows. What does it mean, the vows? The vows are the exchange of oaths between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. This was the moment, the supreme moment of Matan Torah. It's true, was the moment of Gilui Shechina, the moment of Pe'al Pe'a Dabevai, the moment of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, but the crucial moment, it's a bit like in a marriage. Of course, the chasna, the chuppah, and everything, that's what really costs the money, and that's not built big drama. But what is the really important moment? The important moment was when he proposed to her, and she said yes. That was the moment, really. What created the marriage? The marriage wasn't created by the caterer, or by the video man, or by the chuppah, or about the flowers. The marriage was created by his proposing, and she says yes. When did that happen? That happened erev Matan Torah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go and tell Klal Yisrael, Im Shamatim as Brisi, if you're willing to accept my covenant, then you will be Mamleches Kayanim V'goy Kodesh. That's my deal. The deal is if you accept the Torah, and what did they say? They said, Naseh V'nishma. That, says the Sfas Emes, is an exchange of Shavuos. That's an exchange of vows. If I'm not mistaken, in the Goyisha world, they still today refer to a marriage as an exchange of vows. Do you pledge to take this man, this woman, as your own, etc., etc., etc.? We don't do that under the chuppah. I don't know why, I didn't write the script, but we don't do that. We do an exchange of kinyonim. We do kinyonim rather than vows, right? The kinyonim on the ksuva and the kinyonim on the ring, the kinyonim seal the wedding. But with the goyim, it's an exchange of vows. L'havdil elef havdolos, says the Sfas Emes, Shavuos is about the Shavua. And in fact, in Masechah Shavuos, the Gemara uses the Loshon a few times, where somebody is, for example, makes a Shavua to be Mekayim a mitzvah, or a Shavua to be Mevatel a mitzvah. The Gemara says already, Mushba v'oimeid mehar Sinai. As you might be familiar with this, we are already all Mushba v'oimeid. But Har Sinai, we've already been sworn in at Har Sinai to fulfill the mitzvahs. And therefore, any later shavuah that you might make, either to do the mitzvah or not to do the mitzvah, is irrelevant because there's a previous shavuah that's mechayev us. So we are mushba v'oimed, so we made a shavuah naseh v'nishma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the shavuah, the mamleches kohenim v'goy kodesh. That is shavuos. Comes out, according to the Sfas Emes, that the Yontav of Shavuos is celebrating what? The exchange of vows. When did that happen? That actually happened on the 50th day. That happened on the 50th day. It was only on the 51st day, but with Macharos, they got up the next morning, and they heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But we are celebrating the fact that the proposal and the acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And that's why I'm suggesting that it could be this insight of the Sfas Emes could be something of a teretz to the kasha of the Magen Avraham and the Marashah, and that's an idea I'd like to leave you with, which is, I think, an interesting concept. Yeah, but that's something else completely. That's coming on completely. That Moshe added a day, but the fact remains that Matan Torah took place on certain days of the week. Matan Torah took place on Shabbos, the Gemara says. After the Gemara goes through the whole business of Moshe, he says, at the end of the day, when did Matan Torah take place? On Shabbos. Right? And according to the counting of the days, we are celebrating Shavuos on the 50th day, which according to the calculation was a Friday. So we're celebrating Erev Shavuos. We're celebrating Erev Matan Torah. Shavuos is a celebration of Erev Matan Torah. But why would we do that? I'm suggesting that the Sfas is telling us that Erev Matan Torah was the crucial moment. That was the moment where he said, would you marry me? And she said, yes, that was it. That was it. That was the special moment. And that's the Shavuos. That is the oaths, the exchange. Another very strange, another interesting Mamar Chazal I'd like to look at for a few moments. I'm always rushing against time here in the... I'll try and do my best. As you know, the Torah refers to Har Sinai with the name Sinai, but several times the Torah gives Har Sinai a different name, especially in Sefer Dvarim. It appears a few times. The mountain is not just called Sinai; it's called Har Chayrev, right? Right, a few times the word Chayrev is used instead of Sinai. What is Chayrev? Poshe Pshat, before we get into any drushim at all, Chayrev simply means Chayrev in the sense of desolation, that it was a mountain in the Midbar. The Midbar is Eretz, it was Chorev, it was a place of a Churban, it was a Midbar, a desert. But, now listen to this, a Maimon Chazal, which desperately needs a good perush. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Pei Tesamid Beis, Amar Rabbi Avahu, Har Sinai Shema. We all know that the mountain is called Sinai. V'lomo Nikra Har Chayrev. Why does the Torah repeatedly give it this different name, Chayrev? Sheyorda Churban Le'umos Ha'olam Olam. That when the Torah came down to Klal Yisrael, it was the greatest moment for Klal Yisrael, but for the Umos Ha'olam, for the Akum, this was a moment of a Churban. This was a moment of destruction.
What does that mean?
Why would Matan Torah, which was the greatest possible gift for Klal Yisrael, be a Churva for the Umos Ha'olam? On the contrary, the Torah brought into the world Emunah and monotheism and ethics and morality and chesed and all the values of the Torah from which the non-Jews, many non-Jews have absorbed and learned from us. On a simple level, we would think the Matan Torah was the greatest gift not only to Klal Yisrael but to mankind. Why would Rav Avohu say that Chayrev means a Churb? In what sense was Matan Torah a Churban for the Umos Ha'olam? Was a moment of distraction. And this bothered me, I must be honest with you, for quite a long time, until I came across a Perush in the Maharal. So some of you know the Maharal has got a sefer called the Be'er HaGoyla. Be'er HaGoyla is one of the hardest svarim of the Maharal. Because what he does in the Be'er HaGoyla is, he takes those Midrashi Chazal, which are the most incomprehensible Midrashi Chazal, which are saying things which seem to be absolutely illogical or impossible, and he introduces a whole new depth of meaning. The Maharal was, without a doubt, I mean, the most unbelievable genius in understanding the Ankus of Mamore Chazal. He says every word of Chazal was written by Ruach HaKodesh, and if you don't understand it logically, then it's a metaphor. It refers to something metaphorical. You have to understand what the Moshal and the Nimshal is. And in Be'er HaGoyla, if you have a zecher to read even a few pages of Be'er HaGoyla, you'll see that it's the most remarkable of the Maharal Miprad's Sfarim. Anyhow, so he divides it up into seven Be'eros. He calls them the Be'eros, and wells of wisdom. So in Be'er Dalet, in the fourth Be'er, he looks at another similar Maimon Chazal, which says that before, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he was Bina Olomois U'machrivon. And he built worlds and destroyed them, built other worlds and destroyed them, built other worlds and destroyed them, until eventually he built the world in which we live. This is a very strange, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do something like that? Well, he couldn't get it right the first time, Chas V'Shalom. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, V'yar Elokim Ki Tov, he created in the beginning something absolutely perfect, was exactly according to the Ratzon Hashem. It doesn't make sense, logically, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would need to sort of, so to speak, in inverted commas, experiment to build one model and get rid of it, and another model and get rid of it, and a third model and get rid of it, and only then, why would he be Bina Olomos U'machriva? What does that mean? So it's true that some Mefarshim take it literally. Some Mefarshim say that actually, in fact, the Netziv, actually in Parshas Noach, I haven't got time for it, but the Netziv in Parshas Noach, when he's speaking about the length of the dating of the universe, how long the universe has been around for. So Netziv already was living, right, in the modern world, and he said they dug up bones which are clearly tens of thousands of years old, or maybe longer than that. How does that work with our counting of the years? So he suggests, the Netziv suggests in his Perush, maybe some of these bones are relics, remnants of previous Olamos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built and destroyed and built and destroyed. That's what the Netziv suggests. So clearly he takes this Mama Chazal literally, that there were actually different worlds that existed prior to the world in which we... That's a different shiur, a different subject about the date of the universe, a complicated subject. But the Maral says something absolutely brilliant. And you just get a taste of the way in which he brings an understanding. He says it works like this. The world was created, if we look at the Sheish Yisrei HaMaisa, there's a clear sequence of items being created. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the inanimate world, the Hirokia, the earth, waters, whatever it is. And then he creates vegetation, plants. And once he's created plants, the plants use the earth and get their energy from it and the energy from the water. So the plants are a higher order of organism than simply the inanimate rocks and the earth. So you have plants. Then you have animals. Animals are an even higher order, and they actually eat the plants. So the earth supplies energy to the plants supply energy to the animals, so the animals are now, at this point in the Bria, the Ikka HaBria, they are the highest point in the chain, if you like, of organisms. And then he created Adam. And Adam was then, Urdu Bidgasa Shemayim, he was actually able to control the animal world, and therefore eat the animal world, and use the animal world, and therefore eat. So he says, listen to Maral's interpretation of Chazal, Bone Olomos of Machriva means there was first the Olom of the earth and the rocks and the water, and then when he built when he created the vegetation, it was Machriv, in a sense that the first level of creation had been demoted, was no longer the Ikka HaBria. And now the Ikka HaBria was the vegetation. And then when he built the animals, it was Machriv then, conceptually Machriv them, not Lamaisa Machriv them. Conceptually, they were no longer the Ikka HaBria. The Ikka HaBria was now the vegetation. And then the Ikka HaBria was the animals. Then the Ikka HaBria was the Medaba, was mankind. And therefore, each time he created a higher order, that higher order became the Ikka HaBria, the essence of the world. And that was Machriv, the previous ones. They were now, so to speak, relegated to being less significant, to being simply only a supporting caste. Right? The vegetation is now just there in order to support higher orders of creatures. Says the Maral, at Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a new Bria. A Bria of Klal Yisrael who are dedicated to be Ovdei Hashem, who are dedicated to live a life of Emunah and Yerushalayim. And at that point, it was Bina Olamos of Machrivam, the next stage. Just like you went from inanimate to vegetation, to animals, to mankind, there was a fifth stage. The fifth stage was the Neshama of Klal Yisrael who heard Unoch Hashem Elokecha. This was now a new order of the creation. And now that became the Ikka HaBria. And that's why Yorda Churban Lomos HaIlam. Because at that point, he says, that's what Rabbi Vol means. At that point, the other people, the peoples of the world, the Lomos HaIlam, were no longer the Ikka HaBria. Until Matan Torah, all of mankind were the essence of the Bria. But after Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael were the Ovdei Hashem, the Melechus Kohanim Begay Kadosh, and the rest of the Umos HaOlam were then, in some sense, were relegated to a secondary status. And that's what Rabbi Vol means when he says, Lama Nikra Shema Har Chirev, Sheyod HaChurva, L'Umos HaOlam Olav. My time has run out, Rabbi Sai. It's always a pleasure to be here. I wish you all a very good Yontif. And you've got to remember that we're celebrating the Shavuos, the exchange of vows. The Sfasema says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and as the Rambam writes, we have to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gal Einai Va'avit Niflois V'Teresecho, that we should be zeche to see the deeper meanings of the infinite level of Torah Mitzvahs. I wish you all a very good yontov, Yashikah.